Today's podcast is presented to you by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member, and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And also, if you do go and sign up, then, you know, make sure you tell them you heard about it through us in the application. Thanks.
Tupelo Con is back and bigger than ever. Come party with us July 24th and 25th at the Tupelo Furniture Market. Special guests include actor Michael Rooker from Guardians of the Galaxy and The Walking Dead, DJ Qualls from Road Trip and The New Guy, and WWE Hall of Famer, the one Billy Gunn. Plus a haunted house, live wrestling, great vendors, and so much more. Don't miss Tupelo Con 2021, July 24th and 25th at the Tupelo Furniture Market. This project is partially funded by a grant through Visit Mississippi.
Welcome to All Cats Are Gray in the Dark. I'm your host, April Simmons. This podcast contains true cases of graphic violent crimes and other stories of a dark nature. Please be advised that due to the subject matter and violent, sometimes sexual content and obscene language, this podcast is not for children or the faint of heart.
Come here!
Bam! We're here. Woo. It's magic.
Magic, you know.
Every week there's some reason that we break out in a song. People probably think we're insane, like that chick from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
The show is so good. So weird, but so good. And awful at the same time. I don't know how to explain
it. Yeah, no, I was fixing to say, like, I keep watching it, but I'm not sure why.
Yep, that's kind of what happened to me.
I was like, why am I watching this insanity?
Yeah. Nancy was like, it gets better and better. And I'm like, does it? You know, like, I don't know if I believe you.
I'm just like, what's so great about this Josh guy?
He's really honestly not seems that like great. Somebody I would have dated in high school.
Probably, yeah. I'm like, why not just go out with the bartender? He's nicer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. And I really hate Valencia, but that's probably everybody that watches the show. Yeah. I think I'm on the episode with the party bus where they go to the beach.
Oh, I like that. I like the boss, Daryl. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I think his name's Daryl. I'm doubting myself now.
Yeah, I think it is Daryl. Well, today we're going to be talking about disappearances that happen on cruise ships because it's, you know, vacation season. So I'm over here trying to make you worry that you might get kidnapped or fall overboard when you're on a cruise.
Yeah, I don't know that I could ever handle a cruise. I mean, that's something I've talked about. I don't know if I've talked about it on here, but my whole life, I'm like, I can't handle the idea of being on any sized boat in the middle of the ocean. The ocean scares me a lot.
Yeah.
The fact that we know less about the ocean than, like, probably half the solar system really freaks me out.
And so I'm just still like, worried. And then, you know, we did the whole episode about Bermuda Triangle, about how some of these ships were not even going that direction. They were thousands of miles away and ended up in the Bermuda Triangle somehow. Like, yeah. I was like, no, I'm cool. I do find the idea of a cruise appealing just because, I don't know, I think it would be like, especially with your significant other, like romantic, you spend some time together away from the internet and other distractions, and like they have buffets on the ship, and that sounds really amazing to me to just have a, like, my husband's best friend is his cousin, and they went on their honeymoon, they went on a cruise, and they had an ice cream machine, like a self-serve ice cream machine that was right outside the room, and they pretty much ate it like 24/7.
sound amazing. Yeah, there's so many things that sound good about a cruise, but it just really scares me.
It does scare me. Like, certain aspects of it scare me, because I'm a klutz, too. I'm like, I'm going to be one of these people that's just like, I'm going to go walk to get some ice cream. Oh, I fell overboard, and now I'm dead. And nobody ever knows what happens to me. Like, I'm just so klutzy that my husband doesn't like me to own sharp things. Like, that's how bad I am. Like, I'm just that bad. Anyway, I guess
we need supposed to be like a new Titanic being made.
Yeah, I think so. I think I did. Oh, God. I think we discussed that in the.
They're going to do like the exact same voyage. I'm like, well, hope that fucking iceberg is gone at this point.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't. That just seems like tempting fate too much. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I guess we need to get started. This episode and next episode are going to be really super short because we're both super freaking busy because the convention is coming up.
Chupalocon, July 24th and 25th. Come down.
Yeah. I played the ad for it last week, and I probably will for this one too. Depending on your geographical
location. I don't know.
Yeah. Come see us. Come hang out with us. We need more friends anyway.
Like, that's why we're hosting a podcast.
Yes. Yes, come make friends with us.
Friends.
Come play with us forever. Okay, let's get started. I keep getting distracted because I keep thinking of more shit to say. Anyway, cruises are supposed to be happy, carefree moments of maritime bliss. What could go wrong on a vacation on the sea? In reality, there's been a shocking number of cruise ship disappearances, and over 165 people have gone missing since 1995. I think it's more than that now, because I think this article was actually like 2019 or something like that. But It happens quite a bit. Cruise ships traverse the vast oceans and often maintain entertainment options into the wee hours of the night, which is an appeal for me. And there's certainly no shortage of libations flowing for those on board. If I go, I'm definitely getting the alcohol pass because, you know, you get like a certain amount of drinks for free if you get an alcohol pass. Yeah. That's like a must have.
As long as they make some sweet frou-frou drinks for me.
Oh, yeah, they do. They totally do. Some passengers have fallen overboard, while other guests have just disappeared via more mysterious means. Investigations into such disappearances can often be inconclusive, as missing passengers are frequently never found. And while security footage can sometimes provide clues, some videos have produced more questions than they have answered. For that reason, the families of many cruise ship victims have written about their tragic experiences in an attempt to increase awareness about cruise ship safety. Yeah. I guess I'll read this first one. Marion Carver, 40, disappeared from a Celebrity Cruises ship in August 2004. Carver had gone on the trip alone and disappeared on only the second day of a 7-day Alaskan tour.
What a bummer. Like, if you're going to go missing, at least wait till the 7th day.
Yeah, I know, right? Though one of the crew members reported that Carver seemed to be missing, the ship failed to respond. When they found Carver's belongings still in her cabin after the cruise had ended, they simply donated her items to charity. They never reported her disappearance to the police. It was Carver's family who filed a missing persons report after not hearing from her for days. They were not even aware that she had gone on a cruise. Royal Caribbean, who owns Celebrity Cruises, ruled the disappearance a suicide, but without a proper investigation. Carver's family will never know.
Holy crap. Bunch of dickholes.
Oh, no. It's going to get much worse as we go along here, because apparently cruises don't like the bad publicity, so they try to do as little as humanly possible to cooperate with this kind of stuff. So it's going to, and Royal Caribbean seems to come up a lot in this shit. So I'm going to tell you up front, fuck you, Royal Caribbean. Like,
I'm never taking a cruise. Like, that was just like sealed that for me. Like, no, I'm done. I'm good. It just took one It took one, and there's more. All right, so Hugh Pham, age 70, and Hugh Tran, age 65, went missing while on a Carnival cruise ship heading from Barbados to Aruba in May 2005. The couple had gone on the cruise to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. They were traveling with their daughter and granddaughter. The couple vanished from the ship, leaving behind only their shoes as a clue, which were found on the ship's deck. Though some have speculated the couple committed suicide, their son, Michael Pham, doesn't buy it. He said they were happy and had been planning a trip to Vietnam to see relatives. Sorry, that was my reminder to record the podcast.
You better get on that.
I mean, if you were going to commit suicide like that, why would you literally bring family to do it?
Yeah, no, it seems like you would kind of be traumatizing them, but you never know. It may have made sense to them that they get to see their family one, you know, their close family members one last time and then do the deed.
I'd be interested to know how far into this trip they did it.
Yeah.
Or, like, did one of them have cancer and they're like, we don't want to live without each other. You know, like, yeah. I need more details on that one to have ever thought it was suicide. Really, for either of them.
Like, it is odd that their shoes were left behind, but...
Yeah.
Because it seems like if it was an accident, like they fell over, then their shoes would be with them.
Yeah, right.
So,
unless someone like pushed them and took their shoes.
Yeah.
Or took their shoes and then pushed them. Like, oh, let me rub your feet. Toss them in.
Yeah. it's a very weird one, and that's kind of why I included it. But there's tons of these stories out there. I just kind of hand chose ones that I thought were interesting for y'all to hear about. John Halford, 63, disappeared from the ship Thompson Spirit while on an Egyptian cruise. I didn't know that was a thing. Can we go on an Egyptian cruise? That sounds pretty cool.
It's still a cruise now.
In April 2011, he disappeared on the last day of the cruise.
Hey, my man. You got it right.
Before the ship would dock. He was slated to see his wife the following day at the airport when he returned home to Milton Keynes, I don't know, England. He sent her a text message, then ate dinner, went for drinks at a bar on the ship's upper deck. He was last seen at 12:30 a.m. His bags were packed. His glasses, phone, and passport were in his room. Though Halford was last spotted drinking, no one interacted with him thought he was drunk, and his wife said he gave no indication of being suicidal. No one knows what happened to him, whether he fell overboard or something else.
Yeah, I mean, if all of his stuff was in his room and they didn't like what were they gonna, what was on him that he could take? For the most part, cruises, you don't need anything.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't think it'd be like a mugging and a toss overboard.
Yeah.
Nor suicidal. And yeah, that just doesn't, I can't compute.
Yeah. So I think that probably was an accident.
Yeah. That one feels more like an accident.
Yeah.
But hey, again, at least it was on the last day.
Annette, it's your turn. Never mind.
Yeah. Jeez, just read all of them. It's fine.
No. Your turn.
Annette Meisner was 37, and she won a Carnival cruise to the Mexican Riviera in December 2004. She took her parents and her teenage daughter along for the trip. On the night of her disappearance, she sang karaoke with her daughter, then hit the casino. Her parents quickly became concerned when Meisner did not show up to play bingo with them as scheduled later that evening.
There's bingo?
All right, I'm getting a little more sold. Meisner's purse was discovered on one of the ship's lower decks near a railing, leading many to believe she somehow fell or was pushed overboard. Yet an extensive search conducted by the Coast Guard and the Navy failed to find any trace of Meisner, and the FBI's investigation was inconclusive. The only camera that might have caught what happened was blocked by a map of the ship. You know, hold up, wait a second. What if there's a serial killer that literally just randomly takes cruises and decides to push people off?
It's possible.
But I mean, like, usually on these cruises, you have to have your passports and your paperwork has to be good. So maybe if they like ran a database of like logs of people that went or worked across all of these different ones, what if they found some correlation between them?
Or alternatively, what if there's a ring of sex traffickers that work for cruise lines to get people.
Either or. I mean, really, yeah. That's kind of in the same vein, but at least I guess you wouldn't be able to cross-reference as easy if you just got random people every time to help.
Yeah.
And they're just tossing them into a different boat, like, take them, you're good. But at the same time, a lot of these people aren't younger. I mean, I think we're about to get into some, but most of these just don't sound like sex trade people.
I mean, oh, yeah. No, I'm saying not all of them, obviously, yeah. But there are some that could be. And as we've talked about, any age can be human trafficked for any true. Number of reasons.
Body parts.
Yeah, body parts. Making them do slave labor, basically, in some yeah, cases. True. So, yeah. And then in the case of the little old Asian couple, maybe they're somewhere having to cook for somebody.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I was going to kidnap someone that I would assume that could cook, it would probably be an Asian person.
Yeah.
You know? Just saying, I've probably came across really racist, but I don't care. Asian people usually can cook. At least it's a good stereotype, I guess you could say. You yeah. know, like, I don't know. Don't write me. Don't at me about that. Okay, it's my turn, right? Yeah. Rebecca Corium, 24, was an employee on the Disney Wonder cruise ship. She disappeared on May 22nd, 2011, as the ship was sailing off the coast of Mexico. She was spotted on surveillance video talking on one of the ship's internal phones and appeared upset. Another passenger approached her and asked her if she was okay, to which she appeared to say yes. Then she then hung up and walked away. The most common theories are that she was swept overboard while at the crew pool, or that she jumped or fell from deck 5. Yet no theory is particularly compelling, and what truly remains a mystery. Others say she was in a turbulent relationship and could have been upset, yet her family states that she would have never willingly gone overboard. Even authorities clash over what really happened to Rebecca, with some stating it was a simple yet tragic case of someone slipping overboard. Now, I did read on another site. I did not add the details because I don't know specifics about it, but there was an article that I read that stated that that they think she might have been raped by somebody on board before this happened. And so I didn't want to officially add that into the story because I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to go around like accusing somebody of raping her if that didn't really happen. I don't know if it did or not, but it definitely would add to the theory of what happened to her. If somebody saw her on the phone after they just raped her, they might have got scared that she was talking.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I imagine happened. But like I said, I can't assume that I'm pretty sure the rape thing is just a theory. I don't know if she really did get raped or any details about who raped her either. So that's why I was bringing it up, but I didn't want to put it in the official story because I don't know how true it is.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Sorry, I was getting a Facebook call. How random. Daniel DePiro, 21, of Canfield, Ohio, went missing aboard Royal Caribbean's Mariner of the Seas on the first night of his cruise in May 2006 as the ship headed to the Bahamas from Port Canaveral, Florida. First night, man. It's crap. Mm-hmm. DePiro was traveling with 6 friends who say he left them around midnight on Sunday to return their shared stateroom. Later, between 12:12 a.m. and 2:16 a.m., ship security cameras captured him standing along a railing and reclining in a chair on a side deck. With no evidence that he had ever slept in their cabin, the friends reported DePiro missing at 11 a.m. on Monday. Despite a Coast Guard search, DePiro was never found. That one sounds like it might have been, you know.
It sounds like it could be an accident or suicide, because it's weird that he was off by... He told them he was going to sleep in his room, and then he's just sitting in a chair on the deck. I mean, yes, that's possible that could have happened that way, but possibly he was already considering suicide or something.
Yeah.
And that's why he isolated himself from the others. I'm not saying that's what happened. That's just my thoughts. You know? It's just awfully weird that he isolated himself, and there's no mention of him talking to anybody else either. Like, if he'd been seen talking to somebody, then they might be a suspect or something, but there's no mention of anybody personally witnessing him or talking to him. Yeah. You know? Just odd. Next, Christopher Caldwell, 36, a father of three from Virginia Beach, vanished aboard the Carnival cruise ship Fascination en route from Miami to Cozumel, whatever, Mexico on July 23rd. On July 23rd, 2004, Caldwell was traveling with his fiancée, who reported him missing after he didn't return to his room one morning. He was last seen hours before on the ship's aft deck. A Coast Guard search of South Florida coast failed to find Caldwell.
So what if there's... Okay, we've talked about human trafficking, right? And we've talked about serial killers that just like pushing random people off. But what if there's also a side business of people that want to fake their own deaths, and you pay these people, these handlers... Like, I'm going to go missing on X day, blah, blah, blah. And they, like, work for the cruise ship. And that's why they, like, let people get out of there. And yeah. How convenient. Because, you know, like, what if they jump overboard and they float and then another boat comes and picks them up?
Or what if that business also encompasses getting rid of your spouse without looking suspicious? Because if you're there having a good time and something else happens to them that's out, then you're accounted for, then... You're in the clear, right?
Yeah. I mean, all four of those things could be happening simultaneously, too. It could be all of the above. It could be like, oh, cruise ship problems happen all the time. Let's sneak a bunch of nefarious happenings in here, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be more than just people fucking falling out of there. That's all. I just think that's too... That's too many. I mean, I know there's a lot more cruises going on, and it's probably statistically not a lot, but that just seems like too much. Too many of these people that should just fucking know better than to fall off a cruise ship, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. But I obviously, in this and the next episode, we're going to cover a bigger case of a fucking... cruise ship vanishing.
Yeah, some stuff that happened.
Yeah. But I'm going to go ahead and say this now, and I'll probably talk about it again when we do that episode too, but obviously there needs to be better legislation and procedures for the safety of people that take cruises. The cruise ships themselves don't take responsibility for any of this stuff. They don't have to follow a lot. They don't really have to follow a lot of laws because, see, what happens is, and I found this out while I was reading, the jurisdiction is based on where the cruise ship is registered.
Hmm.
So they only, like, say it's a cruise ship that's registered in Florida. And, you know, it goes to Mexico or one of the Caribbean countries or whatever.
Yeah.
Then it don't matter where it actually happens. It has to be reported in Florida. But think about a busy police force, like, say, in Miami, because there's a high crime rate in Miami. Like, that, how long do you think they're going to investigate a cruise ship thing, especially if they have to travel to go to chase leads or something like that? It doesn't happen. Like, that just really doesn't. Basically, the cruise ship are only required to have security, basically. And that's it. And it's their own security. So they don't, a lot of the times on these ships and stuff, and you'll see this in the next episode with what happens with her, they don't alert people. So in the time that, like, there could still be time to save somebody if they have been kidnapped or held hostage or whatever, before they transport that person off the boat, there probably would have been time to save some of these people.
Yeah.
but the cruise ship refuses to do anything because they don't want the rest of the passengers to panic.
Yeah.
Which I get that, but if it's a case of somebody actually missing and possibly in danger, you're going to have to just do it. Just bite the bullet and do it. And I think there really should be better laws for that.
For sure, yeah. That's scary. That, again, just not going to do a cruise.
Yeah. And also, I guess, just better safety in general, because there are some of these that had to have fallen overboard.
Yeah.
So there really needs to be better procedures in general for cruise ships. And so I just wanted to take the time to state that. Because obviously that really needs to happen.
Yeah. For sure.
For sure. Do you have any shout outs and recommends this week?
TupeloCon. TupeloCon.org.
Yeah.
$20 weekend pass. Michael Rooker. DJ Qualls. Lots of good stuff.
Us.
Bob Ross painting. Us.
I guess us is not as exciting. I want to try out the zombie shooting range. Ooh, that's
yeah. Awesome. I'm pretty excited about that too. I doubt I'll get to do anything because that's usually what happens. Other than I spend like 30 minutes each day shopping in the vendor hall, but I usually don't get to go to events because it's too busy.
Yeah,
because I'm the CFO.
Yep,
I gotta count that money that we usually don't make any, but still. We like to bring this to the community. You know?
Yeah. I guess I'm gonna sort of recommend Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I don't
Loki.
Loki.
I'm sad Loki it's was so over.
Yeah, I'm sad that the season is over. I just need more Tom Hiddleston in my life.
Yeah.
In general.
Yep. Agreed.
I just love him. So, and of course, shout out to Bonna.
Bonna.
Bonna. We love you. Are you even listening anymore? Because I haven't heard, she hasn't said anything in a while.
I don't know. You should volunteer for me again at TupeloCon.
Bonna, come play with us forever. Anyway, so on to our list. So if you're not listening to that stuff, then it's time to go. You don't necessarily have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Or you can just like mute it if you don't want to hear it. We're talking
just
about
mute it
and underrated movies. You decide.
Yeah. Okay. You're number five.
School Ties.
Oh snap!
Brendan Fraser, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Chris O'Donnell. It's like mega 90s hunks. Amy Lorcane, like I can't remember who else is in it.
Man,
lots of good people.
I used to be so into Chris O'Donnell. I don't know.
I'm still into Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, true that. But now I've thought about Scrubs and I'm about to cry.
I know. That's exactly what happened to me. That's why I went quiet. I was like, oh, where
Damn
do you
it.
Think you are?
Anyway,
it gets me every time, man.
Every time. It's like you know it's coming, but it's still that stab every fucking time. Right in the gut.
I really need to make Nancy watch Scrubs. I think she'll like it.
She probably would. All right, my number five is Only You, but I think we've talked about it before, but it's a romance. It's like a romantic comedy that has Robert Downey Jr. and Marissa Tomei, and it is wonderful. So if you like that sort of thing, you'll probably like it. And I don't necessarily, I'm not a huge romantic comedy person, but that's probably one of my faves.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay. And now it's number four?
Yeah, number four for me, Love and Sex.
I think I don't know.
Which it stars Famke Janssen and or Famke Janison, I don't know. She was Jean Grey in the first X-Men movie series. But it's, and Jon Favreau, who is like the director of like Iron Man and everything back when he was still acting. He played like Pete on Friends, if anybody remembers that. But it's a romantic comedy, of course, because I do like those movies. But it's basically about a couple and how they meet and all that, and just kind of their relationship history, both sides. It's just a good movie. It's really quirky, but I love it.
Mine is Stardust, because I love Neil Gaiman and I love that movie and I love Claire Danes, and yeah. And Charlie Cox is really good in that too, but I didn't know who he was when I first saw it. The book is good too.
Yeah, I just finished reading the book a few months ago, because I think I talked about it on here. I had started reading it before my eye surgery, and then I had to like listen to the rest of it because I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
And then we watched the movie again. I hadn't seen it since like it came out. Yeah. I liked it a lot better this time.
I just honestly, De Niro's my favorite De Niro role ever.
I love that Henry Cavill's in it as well.
I didn't remember him being in it.
That's weird. Like the, you know, he's vying for that girl or whatever.
Oh, he's the other, dude. Yeah. Okay. I didn't remember that. I might have to rewatch it now.
He's got like red hair. It's really weird.
That is really weird. Okay, you're number three.
Dream a Little Dream.
Sweet.
Corey.
And I just heard that in the tune of
Marley. I was turning it into that. but no, fight me. I prefer Corey Haim, people. Sorry. Rip.
Corey Haim. I don't know that I ever really had a preference. I don't know.
A lot of people preferred Corey Feldman, and I just don't get it. He seemed like a little brat to me.
Yeah. I think they kind of both were back then, but.
Yeah. But Corey Haim and Dream a Little Dream is perfection.
Yeah. I guess I'd say attractiveness wise, it probably would be Corey Haim for me.
Yeah.
But have you ever listened to Corey Feldman's music? It's fucking terrible.
I think you've made me, and yes, I've blocked it from my mind.
It is fucking terrible. But I did read his autobiography, and it was good. Corey Feldman's autobiography is.
I know that they faced a lot of bullshit in their careers, and it sucks. It hurts my soul reading about being raped. I think it was Corey Haim had been raped by like Charlie Sheen or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, obviously that's not the gospel. I don't know how true it is, but that was one of the things I read, and it's just devastating to know what these people, you know, kids, child actors have really gone through.
Yeah. My number three is it's your turn to do number three, isn't it?
Oh, wait, I said Dream a Little Dream.
Okay. Mine's Secretary. Because let me just school y'all if you don't know what Secretary is. Imagine 50 Shades of Grey, except decent. This predated 50 Shades. It is some kinky stuff. It's Maggie Gyllenhaal and James Spader, and it is hot as hell. Like, I don't care what anybody says. That movie is so much better than 50 Shades ever thought about being.
And it's James Spader.
Yes, and it's James Spader. He is so hot in that movie, like, so hot. I'm not generally attracted to him. I guess it's a prejudice because of Pretty in Pink. He's a douchebag, but... And Pretty in Pink is one of my favorite movies. But, no, Secretary is just probably the hottest movie I've ever seen in my life. I'd rather watch that than porn. Okay? Like, that movie's just hot. Yeah, that's mine. So, what's your number two?
Heart and Souls. Another Robert Downey Jr. Apparently we just really
like Robert Downey Jr.
back then, hell yeah, he was smoking back in the day. Yeah. Not that he looks bad now, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
but no, like, Heart and Souls is about, like, some ghosts with unfinished business that become, like, the fairy godparents of Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
It's amazing.
It is a good movie. I love that movie. It's got good music too.
Mm-hmm. Number two for you.
Number two for me is Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah. See, I kind of cheated because you told me some of yours because I couldn't think of mine. And so I didn't put any of them. So just assume that most of her list is also my honorable mentions. I love Drop Dead Fred so much.
I haven't watched it in a while, but I probably need to. It's just so good. And it's got Carrie Fisher.
And Phoebe Cates.
Yes.
And whoever Drop Dead Fred was. I know he passed away a few years ago, but I loved that guy so much. I thought he was so hot.
I don't know about thinking it was hot, but I thought like that was just one of the weirdest movies I'd ever seen back when I think we rented it when we were kids, and I was just like, this is the weirdest freaking movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, up until that point, like, you know, because back then indie wasn't really a thing. Like people didn't just go out and rent indie movies. I'm sure that there's people that did, but probably in larger cities and stuff like that. In our small town, if it was indie, we ain't heard of it. You know what I mean? And for us, that was just one of the oddest mainstream movies ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, number one for you.
Number one. It's kind of cheating, but Better Off Dead. It's my favorite movie ever. It is kind of a cult classic, but, you know, not a lot of people know what I'm talking about when I say Better Off Dead.
I would assume you would say One Crazy Summer because that was lesser known.
Yeah, I mean, it's in my honorable mentions. It's just, these are my top, and I love One Crazy Summer, but I feel like that one is a little bit more well known because all the people talk about, you know, they do the Godzilla scene where they, like, stomp on miniatures and all that. And it has Bobcat Goldthwait. But Better Off Dead is just a goddamn masterpiece.
Yeah.
I need to
rewatch it at some point. I think I've only seen it like once or twice.
It's my favorite movie in the whole wide world.
Okay. Well, I'll watch it again if you watch something. Crap, I can't think. Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, it's on my list. It's on my list. Gotta do Dr. Death first, though.
Yeah,
it's Joshua Jackson,
and then you're gonna do an episode about it. Yay. Is it my turn for my number one? I think
I
got lost in thought trying to think of what the name of the Lovecraft Country was. Groundhog Day is my number one. I know it's kind of gotten more appreciation through the years, but back when it came out, it really wasn't a thing, you know. Like I still feel like it's underappreciated, you know. I don't know. It's just so damn good. I know some people get annoyed with it because of the repetitive stuff, but I think that helps build, I guess, empathy for him.
Yeah. I honestly haven't sat down and watched the whole thing in a very, very long time.
I love it, though. I pretty much watch it at least once a year, at least, because, you know, they show it on Groundhog's Day, and usually I'll watch it sometime around that time period. It may not be the actual day, but I usually watch it around that time of year. All right, your honorable mentions.
All right, I got Stigmata. I love that movie.
Nice.
Stay, which is got a great cast, but a lot, I literally like have to show it to people and they're like, what are you talking about? But it's got Ryan Gosling, Ewan McGregor, and what's her face from The Ring. I knew her name and now I forgot it. But it's a real whack job of a movie, but it's so good. I've got Children of Men. Because, I mean, it's a pretty critically acclaimed movie, but and it's based on a book. But just not enough people have seen it. I also have Somewhere in Time. A lot of people, I mean, that one was probably a pretty big movie at the time, but I think it's getting lost somewhere in time.
Yeah.
Threesome.
Oh, shit. That probably should have been in my top five.
Yeah. That one's got like Stephen Baldwin and I think his name was like Josh Charles or something like that.
Josh Charles.
And that pretty lady, I already forgot her name, Laura Flynn Boyle.
Yeah, Laura Flynn Boyle.
And then I also have Running on Empty, which is a movie with River Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my honorable mentions.
And now I had to write some more on mine because you made me think of ones that I forgot.
And then, like, half of her list are also mine.
Okay. On my honorable mentions, I put About Time.
Yep. That
time travel.
That one I knew about.
Safety Not Guaranteed, another time travel. Down With Love, which is actually Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger, right?
Yeah.
I saw.
Such a good movie.
Great movie. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, which stars the Michael Rooker, who will be at TubloCon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you know me, I love serial killer movies, but that one's very gritty and real, and it's very dark. So I gotta warn you, unless you're really into the whole serial killer thing, don't watch that movie. But it's basically based on, you know, Henry Lee Lucas and Otis O'Toole or whatever the fuck his name is. I can never remember. If you're into that sort of thing, it's a good movie, and it stars Michael Rooker, and he's really good in that. Walk Hard, because it's just hilarious and the music's good.
Step Brothers. That movie is magical.
Step Brothers, because I swear to God, you can stick John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell in a movie together, and I don't care. It could have negative one star, and I will watch that crap because I love the combination of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. I just love them. But that one's my favorite of theirs, the ones that they're in. I've seen it like 8,000 times, I swear. Moon. What's the name of the guy that's in that? Crap. Anyway, it's a good indie movie.
Sam something.
Yeah, Sam something. Benny and June. God, we used to watch that all the time, too. It's got Johnny Depp and Mary Stuart Masterson. Is that her name? I think so. But
Sam Rockwell was the guy, by the way.
But Benny and June is just one of those movies. I love it. I don't know. Voices, which nobody else besides me and James tend to like. It's like a horror movie with Ryan Reynolds as a serial killer. But he hallucinates stuff all the time. And it's kind of comedic. It's Ryan Reynolds. Of course it's comedic. Yeah. So it's like a comedic serial killer movie. And most people don't like it because it's kind of out there and ridiculous. But I love it. I love it. And also, I'm going to throw in School Ties, Somewhere in Time, and Threesome because Sabrina said them. And I was like, damn it, I need those on my list. Yeah. Honestly, Threesome would probably be further up the list than if I'd remembered it. But because I just love that movie, and people just assume it's a dirty movie or something by the title, but it's just a really good movie. It is a story about a love triangle, and there is some sex in there, but that's not what it's about.
No.
That's pretty much it. I think we're done with this episode.
This is random, but there was a Dark Tower TV movie made, and I can't find where to watch it, but it has Michael Rooker in it.
What?
It's supposed to be released last year, but I don't know what happened to it. Look, I can't find it.
It probably just sucked that bad that it'll never see the light of day.
But Michael Rooker was Eldred Jonas, so I think they were doing the whole Roland's backstory from Wizarding Glass. Because there's like Susan Delgado and all that.
Damn.
And, like, Jerome Flynn was Stephen Duchesne. And someone that I don't know is Roland.
Interesting.
That's just random information for you, but I need to find it.
Okay. I guess we're done. We're at 42 minutes, so we're about at 45 today. That's, I guess,
whoa,
shorter than
long. Whoa.
I know. We took a 20-minute episode and made it 45.
The power of us.
Yeah. All right. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.